The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you.
Welcome, faithful listener, to day three of the Big Red Couch Gen Con 2023 reports. My name is Ben, here in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau. You're going by the pronouns he and him, and here I am, waiting with bated breath for the news of all that is good in gaming, specifically in like a six-block radius of Indianapolis. And here to give us that news is my co-host,
Craig. Pronouns he, him, or they, them, as you prefer. I'm fine with either. Here in Indianapolis, staring out at the cold gray light of the pre-dawn, and wondering why I am awake this early.
We are slaves to the little green oscilloscope thing, apparently. So yeah, that is the reason, and that's what we're going with, indeed. So, you're up in this fine, misty, foggy, other adjective morn?
It's actually pretty, I mean, to be fair, I'm judging this based entirely off the street lights and the city lights and that sort of thing, but it seems pretty fine out there. So that's good, according to the weather reports, because, you know, we've got to have a weather report. At least the weather reports a couple of days ago suggested that there was the exciting possibility of thunderstorms today, which I am quite looking forward to, because I enjoy a good thunderstorm, and I really like the rain, and I can get to everywhere I need to go today through skywalks and internal corridors and not being exposed to the potential aforementioned thunderstorms and rain. So that's a pretty good thing in my book. I'm liking those.
Fair enough. Just looking outside isn't a bad weather forecasting system if you're looking at the very short term. I will confess, a couple of nights ago, I went to check if we had cleaned the windows recently, because the got cold enough that the Auckland humidity had dropped, so that you actually like clearly see lights. They were quite sharp, but I was wondering, is something going on? There's a little less haze than I was used to. It's like I'd gotten a new pair of glasses. So yeah, it's not the worst technique. It also, you know, precipitation's fairly obvious.
Fair.
So what exciting news have you bitten off torn chunks from? I'm struggling for a less grisly metaphor, but right now I think I'm failing from the great beast of gaming.
Well, I mean, in terms of exciting, topical, and up-to-the-minute news, why are you listening to this show if that's what you're after? I mean, come on, people.
Topical for
seriously.
You. I'm.
That's fair, yeah. Topical for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so topical for me. Yesterday, for the eagle-eared listener, I had the Orc Stomp 5K run one. The Orc Stomp 5K fun run, or allegedly fun run, or maybe fun adjacent run.
I may leave in the stumble on fun, as though you're struggling to say the word.
That seems fair. I like that idea. I endorse this. I endorse this product and or service. So I had that in the very early morning. It was actually reasonably fun. You know, I quite enjoyed it. It's out there getting some exercise, getting the blood flowing, and all of those other frankly tiresome cliches intended to make you think that you're enjoying yourself when no sane human being would be awake that early. So that was quite good. I question their loudspeaker placement, because there was somebody who was making lots of announcements, and there was probably 15 minutes of talking and announcing, and I'm going to assume sort of rah, 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 let's get hyped up. Except based on the various times that people were sort of pumping their fists in the air and going rah, 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 probably only the first sort of 10 feet of people could actually understand a word. All for the rest of it, it was like those bits of Charlie Brown when the teacher is talking.
Yeah, the classic subtitle, inaudible announcement.
Very much, it's inaudible announcement. For 15 minutes, and just like, yeah, whatever. I'm hoping it's not a, oh, by the way, you need to run really fast through Crack Dealer Alley or something, because, yeah, we're all going to die. But no, it was fine. The crack dealers were lovely. We were really supportive. So yes, it was quite fun. It was a nice way to start the day once during the convention. You know, I mean, I walked it, but I walk quickly. I did the thing in a little under 50 minutes, which was what my goal was. So happy with that. I don't think it really counts as very much of an achievement, but yeah, whatever.
You hardly died at all.
That's fair. Yeah, there was very little dying happening on my part. I'm good with that. Also, as far as I know, nobody got attacked by geese, which I understand was a feature of the previous year, though I missed out. Might have been an early adopter thing.
Hey, if they're taking steps to make sure people are safe from geese and no one is attacked by geese, that's a win.
Not for the geese.
Oh, true. I suppose the geese miss out, but you know, geese.
As I understand it, it is how Canada stays so nice. They just have a ritual every year, possibly involving poutine and maple syrup, where all of the bad thoughts just get funneled into geese.
They just drive the geese. First, they invest the geese with the evil spirits, and they drive them out of the country, so because they migrate long distances.
Yeah, there's a story idea in that. Somebody write this down. So, yes, there was that. I had some actual games, because it feels like we should talk about those.
It goes towards character.
Indeed. Though I am going to talk about them in reverse order this time.
Oh, you tricky devil.
Indeed. I'm mixing it up. Yo. So, my evening game, and by evening game, this was 8 till midnight, though it did finish slightly early, was from Monty Cook, Stealing Stories for the Devil, which is a heist game with people who can lie to reality in some fairly specific ways, and an enormous amount of kind of science fiction backstory. It is very much set up as an RPG in a box. So, you know, the idea being that you can just pick up this thing and run it. Everything you need is in there. And there is kind of a 12 heist plot line, which I am assuming goes a long way towards explaining why this heist game, which could just as easily have been a modern day heist game with a slightly weird Mission Impossible-esque, oh, we planned for that flashback mechanic, and instead has spacecraft from the 29th century and anomalous objects that are anomalous in time, they're sort of freaky anomalous zones and that kind of thing. I am assuming there is a reason for all of that somewhere in that campaign, and indeed why the thing is called Stealing Stories for the Devil. So I've played this thing once before last year, but it was on a Sunday, so everybody's a little bit tired and blinky. It was the first year that Gen Con was really back in earnest from the COVID years. I got the impression last year that not everybody, but a bunch of people, probably myself included, had kind of gotten rusty on the whole thing of the making sure everybody gets a turn of role-playing games.
People don't know how to act. Yeah, this is a relatively minor example. It doesn't involve screaming and pointing on airplanes or anything. But
indeed. It was kind of everybody, and because it was a new system, and it had it had cool sort of I can affect the outcome of stuff cards that everybody wanted to use. And because they were a GM down, so it was quite a big table, it was a little bit of a weird a little bit of a weird gaming experience just from that, because you kind of get the, okay, people, let me fail my dice roll before all before five different people start throwing cards at me while telling me what I should do. It's like, let me screw this up on my own first. Then you can help.
Yeah, let me decide how I'm going to screw this up.
Indeed.
And then you can interject. You often have a myriad of options on that thing, so you want to be able to make your own choice.
I can screw up by myself. I'm a big boy. So that was last year's experience. This year's experience kind of was weird in a different way.
Oh, good.
The GM for the game was very adamant on the fact that he was just kind of picking up the vibe that the party were putting out there, and was was kind of doing doing the game based on what we were doing. But I kind of get the feeling he just runs this game as a weird, zany, wacky hijinks kind of game. So we had a weird, zany, wacky hijinks kind of heist game. One of the things that I think maybe is, because I do like the game. It's interesting to me. I will probably pick the thing up in PDF form at some point just for space constraint issues. But I noted in some areas, and somebody else noted in other areas, that for something like a convention, it was super easy to end up with a character with just skills that were never going to come in handy. Like somebody took the skill of swimming. We were doing a heist in an art museum that never came up. You know, driving never came up. And with the sort of the spooky editing of reality powers, it's kind of, well, I could lie to people, but and sort of change what people were thinking. But there was one time when that circumstance actually came up. So it was kind of odd from that point of view that you've got these buttons on the character sheet that, yeah, you can hit them, but they're not going to do anything because the fictional narrative just isn't supporting it. So kind of something to watch out for. I think in a sort of in a longer running campaign, that wouldn't be an issue. But for a convention game, it felt a bit weird.
It would be good to tailor the characters to the scenario when you've only got a limited amount of time. Because that could happen on any... In the old days, they used to put like every possible human field of knowledge on the character sheet. So there would always be a... That'd always be a lookout. But yeah, you don't want to give somebody astronomy if you are the game takes place at noon. And the few minutes either side. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I... As a GM, did at one point have the circumstance of a character who was sort of a player who was dead set on the idea that their character should absolutely have this particular skill, and I knew the scenario I had planned, and in the end I just told him, look, I will give you that skill for free. I am 100% confident that this will never come up. You can have that as a completely free skill because. Just trust me on this one.
I will comp you that skill. It's a quirk.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Yeah, you have your quirky knowledge of advanced pastry making. It's cool. You can have that skill for free. We're good. So yeah, that was Stealing Stories for the Devil. Like I said, I think it's a fun game, but I have run into problems with it in a convention setting.
I can see that. That does sound more of a general convention thing, because I know if I'm running a game, and a player plasters espionage skills all over their character sheet, I'm going to think, they might be interested in espionage. Unless somehow we're in a dimension that the physical rules disallow such things, or it would be wildly inappropriate, I'm likely to go, cool, spy shit, let's do that. Because that is part of the conversation. When people get dogmatic, you literally don't have the resources to make a game change in that way, or sometimes the players cannot comprehend their character being a different way. Those are when you tend to run into the edge cases, let's say. Yeah, at a convention I can see that would be less than fun. Advanced pastry making and all that.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I enjoyed the game. I had fun. It was amusing. Yeah, I still got to do some stuff, but it's kind of a, well, this could have gone a little bit better. But moving on to things that did go quite a bit better was my very first Forged in the Dark game of Chew, Chew. Because at this point, my accent has been filtered through New Zealand, England for a number of years, miscellaneous bits of America, and then about a week hanging out with Hoosiers. So I no longer know what sounds I am making with my mouth hole.
Fair enough. Also, you spend all that time in Perth, so it's practically... It's amazing you can still communicate with human beings.
That's fair. Yeah, I'd almost forgotten the Perth years. Possibly as a survival technique. Anyway, that's unkind. Perth is a lovely city. It's just a lovely city that's a really long way from everything.
Including fun.
Harsh.
Hey, I pick up these little mementos from your travels of just, you know, irrational objections to places.
I mean, it's a form of souvenir and it takes up no space in the luggage. So, you know,
indeed,
it's very space efficient.
Apart from all the rent I'm not collecting in my head, yes.
So, yes, Chew, it's a Forged in the Dark game, though the GM did say that it is a little bit different to many other Forged in the Dark games. So probably what this just means is I have a really weird idea of what a Forged in the Dark type of game is and looks like. But yeah, it has, to my understanding, because it shares a lot of DNA with Apocalypse World, or the Powered by the Apocalypse games. So yeah, a chunk of it is familiar. You've got your playbooks, you can sort of make up a character in a few minutes by circling stuff on the sheet kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was a lot of fun because you are playing federal investigators from the FDA looking at food crime, or food adjacent crime sometimes. The whole thing is done as an investigation. I don't know whether this is built... I'm assuming it's built into the game on the basis that there were actual sort of official branded products, but we had our big conspiracy investigation board. Granted, we were using post-it notes and like drawing lines in marker as opposed to using the thing with the push pins and the colored string. But it did look suitably ridiculous and insane by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Given that we had one character who was still troubled and obsessed by the fact that they'd come second in a science fair in high school, and they just felt that everything that ever went wrong in their life was part of the same conspiracy that meant that their bitter rival from high school had won that thing when they shouldn't have. So they were desperately trying to tie that guy into what was going on. My character, on the other hand, had been marooned on an island and believed that he'd been rescued by highly advanced undersea aliens, so he was trying to tie those in. But there was also a certain amount of sort of hardcore proper investigation going on as we attempted to determine how a conglomerate making energy drink and breakfast cereal was in some way connected to the kidnapping of celebrity TV chefs and forcing them into a cooking competition in cages over a volcano where the trapdoor on the floor opens if they don't cook well enough.
Yep. Now that sounds in keeping with what I read from the graphic novels. The idea of having the characters be strongly encouraged, possibly with a mechanical aspect, to tie their own weird obsessions into the case, I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
I cannot remember what the weird obsessions of the other two players were, simply because the high school rival and the alien, the undersea aliens thing, just sucked up an awful lot of the weird obsession airtime because they were so stupid.
I like the way that they're coming from from sort of different vectors of pettiness and sort of misunderstanding. I do appreciate that.
it was fun. It was a very fun game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, quite a because it was a four person group, which is a kind of that's in the group size area that I quite like as a player and as a GM, because you've got sort of enough going on to sort of to have some interesting sort of back and forth happening at the table and kind of synergizing, as it were, but not so much that you just can't hear yourself think and don't get a word in.
You can keep track of everybody. And yeah. you vaguely understand whose turn it is. So, yeah. No, I appreciate that as well. Cool. Wow.
That was a lot of fun. That one is on the list of so when that one comes out, I will probably be getting that, much like last year.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of the games that are on my yeah, I'd like to get this list aren't published yet, so it's going to be a very cheap year for me.
Nice. You just kind of like bookmark a few things and you're good to go.
Basically, yeah. So yeah, that was Friday. I'm assuming that was Friday because today is Saturday. I'm pretty sure today is Saturday.
That is how linear time works, we hope.
Yeah, I got a little bit confused about that at the start of last week. I was trading messages with a friend in Indiana while I was in D.C., made some comment about the museum I was in being, there's quite a few people in here for a Monday. And he pointed out, yeah, it's Tuesday, dude.
Meh.
Jet lag is weird.
Monday, Tuesday, that not really significant sort of museum attendance bump, I suspect.
That's fair. I mean, it was the Smithsonian Air and Space, so there was still there was still a bunch of people there. But yeah, it probably gets much worse over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Some of the other things that we've sort of failed to report on over the our little hiatus. Cough. one of the things was that there was Kiwi RPG, Kiemu Whakatau Aotearoa, to give its bilingual titles.
Oh, I didn't know they'd done that.
Indeed. Earlier this year, there was a positions were voted on and so forth. There was a whole formal setting up of an AGM and everything. So, yeah, and we've missed Kiwi RPG week by 2 months. There, it was June 10th to 18th. And quite a few interesting things came out of it, even though I was very, very busy and not able to do too much for them. One thing is that there is at least one podcast which is claiming, it is actually doing the thing we have been bullshitting people that we've been doing for the last decade. There is a podcast called Wait, Roll That Again, and it's hosted by Alex Marinkovich-Josie and seems to be a relatively new role player, but is really excited about the idea of making games and is in the process of making games and talking to people who make games about it. And yeah, it is an interesting thing. They've had Morg Davies, who did A-State and a bunch of other things, and the most recent episode is they do alternate things where they do a audio episode and then like a development post on their blog. Episode 4 has just come out featuring Jay Dragon from Wander Home and Yazebas. So it's like, that's pulling more heat than we managed in a much longer time. So yeah, and that's really interesting and very professionally made. They've got really that kind of cafe jazzy kind of podcast music. Seems like I'm dragging it, and maybe I am, but that's as far as I'm dragging. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I will take issue with one thing, with many things, but in this specific case is, I don't know, I don't think the 10-year run of first edition Big Red Couch was us sort of bullshitting about a thing. We came up with ideas. That was the goal of the show. And fair, we did it fair. A lot. We never claimed to be making games. We never said, oh yeah, this is... We never said any of that. That was never in any of the design brief. This was we are taking a prompt and we are just spinning out the ideas from it, which is what we did.
We baited a lot of hooks and then left them in the sandpit.
Yeah, hoping that other people would pick them up and run with them or parts thereof or at the very least listen to what we did and think, I mean, the whole hope was people would listen to what we do and they didn't think, hey, that's interesting. I can steal bits of that.
Indeed. And in the time that we've been making the podcast, that's clearly happened. We may have had nothing to do with it, but we could try and take the credit if we felt like it. Probably too much effort, though.
And it would involve travel.
So was that?
It would involve travel, like taking the credit. We'd have to go there and take it. It's like, yeah.
Oh, just right, right. Physically acquire the credit. Yeah, I guess so.
Indeed, yeah, physically acquire it, yeah. That's how it works, right? It's like Mario.
Yeah. We're very good. Very good at this, indeed. Another thing is that a podcast / radio show made for Manawatu's People's Radio, and a gent called Hugh Dingwall, who does Reserve Recommendations, which is, yes, problematic faves, great trash, and our complicated relationships with art and culture. And he's done screeds of stuff, like prog rock and the films of Jacques Tati, and all sorts of random things. He's clearly a person who's interested in a wide variety of stuff. But also, he's a gamer, or certainly was a gamer. He's made his own edgy 90s, this is not a game, you can't play this game. And actually coming out and admitting that is a feat of unparalleled courage, I would have to say. But over the course of the Kiwi RPG Week, he talked to Mike Sands about of Monster of the Week and others, about unique RPGs. He talked with his old Deadlands GM, which I think is called Marshall.
Sounds right, yes.
Yep. About their game and the general interesting changes of perspective since the 90s about Deadlands and how things have progressed from there. Another one about a game from the 90s called Violence, and then followed it up with someone else, some other folks who had written a book about something awful, just to explain the 90s-ness of it all, because that was the line from The Simpsons, you know, I tied an onion on my belt because it was the style of the times. It's like the books are very orange, aren't they? Yes, they are very orange. Well, it was the 90s. Yeah.
It's like that weird era of home decor in New Zealand in the 70s, where burnt orange and mustard brown were the colours.
I thought it was a chocolate brown. It was quite deep, but the orange was very vibrant.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, oh, and like avocado green.
Formica and plastic. Yeah.
It was a thing.
Yeah, no, there was definitely a style associated with that era, and a lot of it was, a lot of it was edgier than origami, basically. So, yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, no, that's fascinating. I'd highly recommend those. And the recommendations go up on a YouTube channel after they've been on the radio station, which helped produce them for a while, which is quite nice, and they're a fun listen. Yeah, so those are some really interesting and cool things that have been coming out. Also, apparently debuting at, I believe it's Hamilgeddon, the Armageddon in Hamilton, somebody is opening Grail, which is a games research laboratory for psychology and in gaming, or the effects of psychological benefits of gaming. And they're kicking that off before they set up formally at Massey University. So, yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, so that's a thing that is being taken up.
Alrighty.
Sorry, it's not Hamilgeddon, it is the Palmerston North Armageddon Expo, because we have an Armageddon. They're like our Comic-Cons, but much, much, much smaller. Still big, the location, but much more. Yeah, so that's pretty cool to be able to report.
Indeed. It's all happening in little New Zealand.
Yeah, stuff is going on, which is, you know, we were here in the 80s. Weeks on end, nothing could happen.
And that was the defining feature of one of our elections. The multi-week period in which absolutely nothing happened. I'm not even joking.
Was that one of the early MMPs ones?
Indeed.
Where nobody was entirely sure how that worked or how long it would take, and also there were some groups negotiating, but everyone was basically on holiday.
Pretty much, yes. It was so we've had the election, and now there was a desperate attempt to form a government and a particular political player who is very, very good at putting themselves in the kingmaker position was in the kingmaker position and was just milking it for all they had. And so for a number of weeks,
there really wasn't much happening in the government space, and nobody noticed.
It's all a bit of a relief, really. Yeah, Winston's still polling. Not like he once did, but he is still out there. He has gone, let's say, populist in the modern vernacular. And it doesn't seem to be working, because unfortunately his base of Blue Rinse and Silver Fox aficionados, sadly not many of them have survived COVID as possibly could have, and they were running out, as it were. So, that's kind of a terrible thing. I don't think that'll happen again. We've had MMP for a long time. People are used to the concept now, and all of the major and, you know, secondary parties fucking hate each other. So whatever happens is going to happen quickly. I don't think they're going to stand around and for some reason.
You did basically summarize it as, it'll be quick, because we're really more politically divided than we've ever been, and everybody's being partisan about it.
Well, that is
alarmingly accurate. Anyway, cutting away from New Zealand politics, because...
Indeed.
There cannot be that many people listening who will know about or care about it that much, and that includes the people in New Zealand.
Yep, all the people speaking, to be honest. But
that's fair. So to round out this episode, stuff I'm playing today, and again, I'm going to be doing this in reverse order because that's just the kind of wild and crazy guy I am.
It's out of control, folks.
Indeed. I'm drunk with my own power, and also tiredness and too much caffeine. wait. I feel like there's a connection there.
Could be.
Anyway, so... Yes, in the afternoon, I will be playing another session of the pirate game from Magpie Games, Rapscallion, because, well, it looks kind of fun, and having played it on the Thursday morning, it was kind of fun, so looking forward to that again. I did check, it's going to be a different GM, so it's not going to be a repeat of the Quags incident of many years ago, where I ended up playing 12 hours of Quags under the exact same GM. And the game I'm playing in the morning, again from Magpie Games, because apparently I'm just a colossal Magpie fanboy at this point, is the Urban Shadows RPG, which is urban fantasy. So
indeed,
and I like that genre.
Mm-hmm. I have a small confession to make. When I was looking for something else, I found out I do in fact own Urban Shadows First Edition. It's in my, and then turning something else over, I realized I'd also had my Kickstarter of the second edition of Questlandia turn up. Beautiful, and I've left it in its box for want of having people to play it with. They did a really good job of it was possibly my. If someone says, tell me about it, get your favorite game, it's still probably up there or something. I would say, hey, this one, quick, you can just invent a setting and play it through. I think we did actually knock out a three-session game with a couple of folks on our Discord channel. And yeah, that was, apart from somebody laying a terrible pun trap, actually pretty interesting. A tale of a... mountain civilization that ran entirely on the blue minerals that the subjects mined, and the terrible reasons it was required. So yeah, it's quite interesting, a nice little cultural blend as well. It'd be really interesting to see getting different people with different experiences into that playing together.
Okay.
I have a small pile of books I really should have read or done something with on either side of me at this point. So yeah. This is good. This doing the podcast will maybe stop me from just accruing RPG books.
I mean, that's a much better way of phrasing. I was just mentally filling it in with, will maybe stop me from buying more shit, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not one to talk. The major reason why I haven't and not going to be buying that much stuff at Gen Con, other than just like luggage space, is a lot of the things I'm interested in are still kind of in production, so they cannot be purchased. So it's just going to have to be dice.
Colin, you're turning up to the Magpie booth for a second game of Rapscallion. They've got to give you like a free wooden leg or something.
Okay, that would be funny. So, yes, that is my plans for today and my summary of yesterday and Ben's roundup on all that is good and wholesome, or at least gaming-related, in New Zealand.
Hmm.
And also bemoaning the terrible thing that is Kickstarter and its ability to remove money from our wallets.
Oh no, this is the face. Like, this is one of the Facebook groups, people selling secondhand games. I got a copy of Amber. Kind of after
back
that,
away. Like, just don't stare into that abyss.
But it doesn't need any dice. How could that be wrong?
For I have stared into the abyss and seen the cold steel glint of Gary Gygax's eyes gazing out at me. All right. I think we've pushed that one about as far as we can. Yes, for the record, I know it wasn't Gary Gygax who wrote that particular game, but I feel like the sort of lurking in the background of a lot of RPG game acquisitions is what he started.
Technically, all of them? I mean, loathe to say it, but yeah, there's kind of a there is a point of critical mass that might have been very small, but somebody had to trigger, so yeah. So it's a very real Oppenheimer kind of thing.
But without the displacement of people and the horrifying environmental effects.
I don't know about that. We haven't seen that play out yet, but it could. You don't know.
How long does it take polyhedral dice to to decompose? Come on.
Indeed. The Grail Laboratory in Massey University may not know what they're tampering with. We may be dealing with a 20-sided version of the Demon Core here.
That's just a horrifying thought to end a podcast on.
Get my fidgeting screwdriver.
Right, and on that note, thank you so much for listening to us, listener. I am going to go out into the slowly brightening world out there, where I can hear a large number of sirens suddenly warning me not to. That's spooky timing. I'm sure that's fine. There can't be any possible problem there. So I'm going to go and enjoy day 3 of Gen Con. And I hope all of you out there have a lovely day or a lovely evening. Thank you for listening.
Indeed. You always know it's a good episode when one of us just starts making the cut his mic gesture. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you for the next one. Bye.
Bye now.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!